We were good, we were cold, kind of dream that can't be sold. We were right till we weren't, built a home and watched it burn.
And that was Miley Cyrus with Flowers. Spencer and Nigel were just talking about how they would eat reindeer. It's very upsetting.
Well, I mean, I said I wanted to try the reindeer, but I didn't actually do it. So, yeah, no, it was tempting last week in Bergen. There's like this special shack where people come from up to 100 miles to get reindeer sausage. And I was like, you know, this is like probably like a once in a lifetime thing. Do I have this? Do I not have this? No, I decided not to have it. Apart from anything else, because it has to come in a bun and that's filled with gluten. And I'd probably ended up being ill. So, yeah, skip that one. Just tell me, Natalie.
Yes.
We're chilling out here, we're playing some Christmas songs, and then all of a sudden Miley Cyrus Flowers comes on. Why
yes.
did that happen?
Well, apparently this is the officially number one sold song in the UK in 2023.
Well, I'll be.
Yeah, so it's kind of a bit of a flashback from the summer, isn't it, Flowers? But this was everywhere. I don't know if you remember. But yeah, I thought we could have a quick chat about what the top 10 biggest songs of 2023 were, because if you know, you may not know, every year Phoenix FM does a full lowdown of all of the presenters' favourite albums and singles of the new year. But these are the official ones, the official favourites of the UK. Number one was Miley Cyrus with Flowers. Number two, I can't even place what this song is. Escapism by Ray featuring 070 Shake. Any idea? I might just too old for that.
Ray, I heard something from Ray the other day, and I was like, oh, that's who Ray is.
Ray is from Lewisham, isn't she?
Yes.
Yeah, kind of up-and-coming rap artist. She had an album out this year that The Guardian placed as one of their top 10 albums, which is really cool. But, yeah, I don't know who Shake is, and I can't place the song. So for it to be in the top 10 songs of the UK in 2023, I don't know what's happening there. What else do we have?
Miracle by Calvin Harris and Ellie Goulding. That was in third place.
Yep, and then Kill Bill, Esedo. I don't know what that song is either, actually. Don't recognise it.
I have no idea who Esedo are. I'm really old, and therefore all of this. You may as well be writing in French, too.
The next one, which is number five, Sprinter by Dave and Central C, is actually one of the biggest songs of Europe of 2023, which is quite interesting. I've started listening to this a lot recently. I must have heard it in the summer at some point, but yeah, it keeps on coming up on my playlists, and I quite enjoy it, to be honest.
None of this.
It's a little bit gangster, but
none of this stuff's ever presented to me. That's probably because I'm listening to weird stuff.
Yeah, I mean, if you listen to a lot of kind of your own chosen playlists from the past.
Yeah, but I tend to I'll play a song and then I'll just let iTunes do its thing where it just skips through music. But I'm just not offered this stuff. So
I think at the last couple of months, I've listened to a lot of kind of pick of the day. Just to try and listen to new music. So I think that's why I'm getting a couple of these. Anti-Hero, Taylor Swift, was in at number six. And of course, Taylor Swift is making history by bringing in all of her own number ones back under her own name, which is super cool. I saw something about Taylor Swift the other day. I think it was one of her old school friends saying that nobody liked her at school. Kind of made me laugh a little bit, because that's exactly what somebody you didn't get on with school would do if you became mega famous and mega rich.
I'm being told a lot by everything on social media about Ashley at the moment. Do you know about Ashley?
No.
So Ashley is a mum of two who basically has adapted her form so that she looks like Taylor Swift.
Wow.
And, yeah, she's had a lot of controversy this year over her willingness to adapt to almost be Taylor Swift. And then when people, have meltdowns at her at the street, she's got a little bodyguard that turns around and goes, oh, it's okay, it's not her, it's just Ashley. And it's, yeah, a very strange thing that's happening.
So almost trying to build her way to fame by being the closest body double that she has.
Yeah, and it's a little bit uncanny. It's a little bit disturbing. If you want to go on the internet and search Ashley Taylor Swift, you will find quite a lot. But yeah, she's getting quite a reputation for herself. She was in medicine, I believe, prior to becoming, you know, a Taylor Swift double. And she's earning a lot of money out of YouTube from pulling faces on YouTube and things like that.
I imagine this is what happens, though, when you say to somebody, oh, you know who you look like? That Taylor Swift. This is exactly what happens, so be careful with your words.
I mean, because people are always saying that I look a little bit like Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
So I think, you know,
and
maybe
Spencer's
I need to
start... Spencer's been writing on the walls a lot recently.
Making my hair dark and wearing purple suits and trashing art.
Smashing through the door with a knife.
Exactly.
Yeah, so that was number six. Number seven is Calm Down by Rima. This was one of my favourite tracks in this list, but it actually came out in 2022. Came out at the end of 2022, but kind of hit fame in 2023 right at the beginning. But
is I've been it listening just to someone this. Going, calm down,
calm down, calm down? Yeah, pretty much. We'll listen to this one in a minute, because that's my chosen track from the list.
Okay.
And then after that, we've got Boy's a Liar by Pink Pantheress. And then at number nine, we have Claire's favourite of the list. She told me a couple of weeks ago what hers was. And, of course, it's Harry Styles. I know what you're thinking. It's the Ken song, but it's not the Ken song. It is Harry Styles, As It Was. And then finally at number 10 is People by Libyanka. Again, it's not one that that I know.
Who are these people?
I literally don't know. So those are the top 10 biggest songs of 2023 in the UK. As I mentioned, the Phoenix FM team have compiled a big list of their favourite songs and albums. They're all very different choices, actually. So I'll tell you a bit about my choices, because I'm sure you'll be interested in this. But you can pick up in, I believe, the Brentwood Gazette next week. You'll be able to read this. So my single of the year was actually Prada by Cassio Ray and D Block Europe. So Ray, who we mentioned earlier, is on this track. It was actually it's a dance hit. You'll probably know it if you hear it. But it's actually a remix of D Block's Ferrari Horses. So that was a big hit in the summer. And then this has been remade by Casso, who is basically a YouTuber from South London, and then remixed with Ray's voice, and it's turned into Prada. So, yeah, it's really cool looking into the background of that. That's kind of been...
So that's how you make Prada, a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Chop it and splice it.
Yeah.
Swirl it
around. I thought you were going to go into Mumbo number 5 then.
Maybe.
A little bit of Prada is all you need. So that was my choice for this year, mainly because it's stuck in my mind and it hasn't annoyed me yet. So I could listen to that any moment. But yeah, a lot of South London rap artists doing collaborations at the moment. My album of the year, actually I found this quite difficult because I don't really listen to albums. Like Spencer was saying, he just like listens to whatever iTunes gives to him. I listen to a lot of pre-made selections. So my album of the year was, after listening to lots of advice from people of some albums to listen to, and I chose Did You Know There's a Tunnel Under Ocean Boulevard by Lana Del Rey. And if you haven't listened to this, it's quite psychedelic. It's fun.
Is there actually a tunnel under Ocean Boulevard?
There's a whole song about it.
Okay.
So the way I've labelled it is, this album could be the soundtrack to your dreams, because it is quite bizarre. Or it could be the soundtrack to a Twin Peaks series.
Yep.
How do you know that that's in my dreams every night? So, yeah.
That's the noise I make when I snore.
So I've never really been a huge fan of Lana Del Rey, because a lot of her music is quite down-tempo, and it's quite depressing if you listen to a lot of this.
A little bit crass well at times.
Yeah, yeah. But this is kind of smoky and dark and quite surreal, and kind of just reminded me of being at art school. You know, you always, well, if you're an artist and you've been to art school, there's always these people that hang around and they have a guitar and they're in a band and they're kind of... they're on their way to making it, and the sound is always quite sound art. This is what that album is like, but it is really, really good. Very mixed in terms of what all of the songs are, but curated very well. So I would definitely recommend a listen to that. Do you have any albums or songs that you would recommend for people to listen to this year, Spencer?
No. Actually, that's a lie.
End.
That is a lie. So earlier on this year, I became a little bit obsessed with a TV show that everybody hated. And that TV show was called The Idol.
Okay.
And it starred The Weeknd.
Right.
And Johnny Depp's daughter.
Yep.
Let me see if I can figure out what her name is.
I can picture her in my mind.
Her name is... Hang on. Yeah, no, I can't figure it out. So I became really obsessed by the soundtrack, because I thought it was brilliant, because it was a mix of everything.
Mm.
And it's given me a greater appreciation of The Weeknd. But yeah. I really liked the fact that, you know, the soundtrack moves from rap to almost sort of chilled and Central Asian music, and then of course it chucks in stuff like Darling Nikki from Prince, because apparently one of the characters in the show was allegedly Nikki from the Prince song. And yeah, it's all over the place. Criminal by Fiona Apple, Love to Love You Baby by Donna Summer. So I really, really enjoyed that. That was probably my highlight album of the year, although I did quite enjoy Dua Lipa's A Future Nostalgia.
And the Weeknd had an album out at the end of 2022 as well, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was recommended to have a look at that album and then realise it was from last year. Because actually, I probably would have chosen that if that was in this year's mix.
I also really liked all the music, not this soundtrack music, but the music that was selected for this year's series of White Lotus. Yeah. The music that played
again,
all the way through
2022,
that
album, because I looked to see what the album was called for the White Lotus to again see if that would be my album of the year, but it was last year's. I was at a mindfulness activity, and the leader of the mindfulness activity started playing the White Lotus soundtrack, which I thought was brilliant. And I asked her about it. She was like, "Oh yeah, I didn't think anyone would notice it was from White Lotus." But yeah, let's have a listen to some of that music. Hopefully I'm going to be able to play Calm Down by Rima, and maybe this will help with the madness of Christmas Eve.
Calm down.
Tell me no, 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 whoa, 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 whoa. Phoenix FM.
At Active Signs and Designs Limited, our team are passionate about getting you noticed. First impressions are everything. So if you're driving a commercial vehicle, how are people seeing you? Our vehicle graphic products and well-designed signage can make you stand out from the crowd. Give the team a call on 01708 343 555 or visit us at activesignsanddesigns.co.uk and start getting your business noticed today.
Are you hungry? Then why not try an award-winning Indian takeaway from Hut & Spice? All our meals are cooked to order using the freshest ingredients, bringing you the finest traditional Indian dishes. To order, visit our website at www.hutandspice.com or give us a call on Brentwood 226 124 and see why we're the favourite choice of customers across Brentwood to Billericay.
Your local hospice needs your support this festive season, and there are so many ways that you can make a difference. Purchase your Secret Santa and stocking filler gifts at any St. Francis Hospice store. Host a jumpers or gym jams day at work, or support the Christmas tree recycling service. The team at St. Francis Hospice will pick up and recycle your real Christmas tree for a donation with a brand new sponsor, the Sharp Group. So support your local hospice this Christmas.
Serena and Zafira,
hello!
And we're really excited to tell you about our new book that we have just finished writing, and it is called
Serena and Zafira's Christmas Tree.
Yay!
It has lots of activities and recipes.
Yes, so we wanted to write a book to celebrate this wonderful festive season, but also to take the opportunity to think about people less fortunate than ourselves. So the Christmas Tree has got some poetry that we've written. It's got some lovely recipes in there. We've got one with Frosty the Snowman cupcakes, and we've also got a festive chai latte recipe, which is really, really yummy. And also, Zafira has written a story called
Bunny's Christmas Wish.
Bunny's Christmas Wish. So we just wanted to let you know it's been released on Amazon on Christmas Eve, and it's our little offer to the universe for this time of year. But also, we're very, very privileged and pleased to say this book is supporting a charity very close to our heart called Clowns in the Sky. And Clowns in the Sky helps children having treatment for brain tumours, and so they provide craft activities and also visits in hospitals up and down the country. So we're very pleased to say any royalties made from the selling of this book, The Christmas Tree, is going to go to help support Clowns in the Sky. So thank you ever so much for listening to us, and we hope that you get the opportunity to buy the book and support this wonderful charity. And the last thing we want to say is
Merry Christmas! And if you get the book, I hope you like all the fun things, because we also have a little poem in there. We've
got poems, colouring activities, recipes.
Yeah, I love it. Don't spoil it.
Oh, right.
Bye. Bye.
And that was Serena and Zafira Robbins, who you may remember from last year on the show.
They had the book and the song, The Bunny That Came to Town.
Yes, they did. Do you remember the bunny song?
I do remember the bunny song.
Yeah, that was possibly my favourite part of the interview last year. Of course, you can go back and listen to that interview on our playlist downloads on Phoenix FM website. You can go and find more about Zafira and Serena and all of the lovely books that they've been writing together as a mother-daughter duo. And they've also got a very talented dad as well, who does music, so you can listen to the Bunny That Came to Town song that he helped remix with Zafira. It's very cool.
And talking of music, I also recognised Calm Down after all that.
You did.
But I recognise it because of this woman called
Sorry, there's a little jingle there for you.
Natalie just thought I needed a little bit of spice. I recognise Calm Down because of Isabel Afro, who is dominating reels on every single platform. She's a 24-year-old from Denmark who has moved to Uganda to be with her partner, Ray, and they basically dance in every single video, and they're knocking out about 50 of these videos a week. They are currently both in Denmark because Ray has never experienced snow. That's your trivia of the day. But they also made this other thing that was really popular this year, which was that Ashley Look At Me thing, dance that everyone was doing on TikTok and whatever. All of a sudden that was everywhere, and that all stemmed from Isabel Afro, who took it from The Boys off of Amazon.
Ah,
that's your trivia for you.
Thank you for that trivia. Looking at some of the things we need to get through, we're very quickly running out of time because me and Spencer could just chat for years. There's a couple of things I just want to mention before we go back to our Christmas traditions theme. One of those things is if you're on your own tomorrow, you can go and get Christmas lunch in Blackmore Village Hall between 1 and 5 o'clock. All food and entertainment is free. It's just for people that don't have anyone to spend Christmas with, can go and spend it with some other people, like-minded people, have a nice dinner, and also there's some entertainment there as well, and it's free. All you have to do is email christmaslunch@yahoo.com, and a big shout out to Emma Clark, a local creative who's organised that all herself, just to be nice because it's Christmas.
It's Blackmore.
Blackmore is not too far from here, just beyond Doddinghurst. You might have to get an Uber there. But yeah, it's Blackmore Village Hall, and I think Blackmore Village Hall Association have also sponsored it as well. Other taxi alternatives are available if they're not booked up. If they're not booked
up. Give Treble 20 a try.
Yeah. It's also worth mentioning that if you do get very, very bored after Boxing Day, that all of those superb pantomimes are still on. So things like Cinderella at the Towngate Theatre, Dick Whittington at the Queen's Theatre in Hornchurch, Sleeping Beauty at the Mercury Theatre in Colchester, and Jack and the Beanstalk at the Thameside in Grays. Also, if you want to see a pantomime but you don't really want to go with the kids, there is Tinderella, which is at the Brentwood Theatre. It's an adult pantomime on the 4th of January, and it stars Bobby Norris as Prince Charming.
Is Bobby Norris the guy that's in Towie?
He is from Towie, yeah. This is the blurb. This is great. Once upon a time in a land far away, where princes fell in love with princesses and knights appear on shiny white horses to save their damsels in distress. Wake up, people. Let's bring this back to reality, shall we? That's been developed by Sophisticated Entertainment, and it's a take on traditional fantasy. I'm Cinderella with a modern twist. This time there is no fairy tale, just the harsh realities of the modern dating world in all its glory, all beautifully mixed together with hilarious adult humour and naughty innuendos. Be sure to leave your kids at home, as this show is strictly for over 18s. Grab a wine from the bar, laugh and get involved with our incredibly wicked adult pantomime. Sounds great. So, yeah, there's just a couple of things to do. And also, you need to get booking if you want to go to the Romford Horror Festival next year.
Woo!
Says the wooing man.
Romford Horror.
So what's coming up at Romford Horror, Spencer?
Romford Horror is...
Give us the top highlights of Romford Horror 2024.
29th of February until the 3rd of March.
Yes.
Because it starts on leap year.
Yes.
And we're bringing over Cynthia Monrail, who was a huge star of band films back in the 70s and 80s. We're also going to have Caroline Munro and Pauline Piert and Martine Bezic, who are three top ladies from Hammer and Carry On Films.
Nice.
Martine Bezic was most famously known as Sister Hyde from Dr. Jekyll and Sister Hyde. So they're coming. We've got 150 films, features and shorts, including a session of horror roulette where you don't quite know what you're going to be watching. Tickets, I believe, are £35 and they're available.
£36.
£36 are available.
Inflation.
From the website. About £36 for 4 days of entertainment.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you have to put up with Natalie and I, but, you know, there are...
Well, I'll be behind the bar, so that will soften the blow.
Well, yeah.
Just on that, though, the tickets are £36. If you are within the first 30 people to book, you get a goodie bag as well, which includes a T-shirt, which will be worth £15 in itself. So make sure that you book early. You can also book as a Christmas present very quickly. You've still got time. Book online. There isn't a ticket that gets sent to you. You're just added to the guest list. So make your own gift voucher, basically. But we are running out of those goodie bag tickets. I think we probably have about 5 left. So sooner rather than later, if you want your T-shirt, as you know, or as you may not know, every year we have a new designed T-shirt based on... what are they?
They're basically they are a tribute to old logos. So yeah, we had
like VHS logos, aren't they?
Yeah, production so we had companies. The a tribute to Arrow. We've had the Canon one, haven't we? And then you also did the Jowlo inspired
special T-shirt. We're going to have another Jowlo inspired special edition T-shirt this year as well. So once the original Jowlo T-shirts are gone, and I think we only have a couple in medium and small, that will be it. You'll never be able to buy them again. But there will be a new one with a different phrase and a different picture. So look out for that as well.
Excellent.
It's all about the merch. Merch and drinks. And obviously film at the film festival. So that's what's going on. Back to our traditions chat. So we've spoken about our tradition, so like the modern history of tradition, but where do some of the things come from yesteryear? Spencer, where did turkeys come from? Why do we eat those?
Why do we eat turkeys? I don't know. Maybe I can read this bit of blurb that you've prepared for me.
So prepared? Turkeys, we don't do that.
Turkeys first arrived in Europe... in Europe via Spain in 1519, and the first turkey was brought to the UK in 1526 by a sailor called William Strickland. In 1550, he was given a coat of arms featuring a turkey on it. It's thought that the first British king to eat turkey was King Henry VIII during his time on the throne. He ate a lot of turkey during his time on the throne.
We're not sure whether King Henry VIII actually was a turkey by the time he'd finished eating.
Resembled one. King Henry VIII decided to swap out his traditional Christmas goose for a turkey on Christmas Day. After this, King Edward VII took to the delicacy and popularised having turkeys for Christmas.
That's fun, isn't it?
It is.
I wouldn't have thought it would be the royal link, actually. I would have thought it would just be, like, availability. You know, like, oh, you know, gooses cost too much. Let's eat a turkey instead. It's almost the same.
Absolutely. I was listening to some... I forget what it was. There was some programme that was playing yesterday that said that it was something to do with aliens and the turkey people who went to war with... Oh, it was Doctor Who. It was a clip from Doctor Who.
Okay.
One of those best 50 TV shows of all time.
Yes.
There you go.
Another very English tradition, and this is... So these are very English things that I've chosen for us to discuss, just in case you hadn't realised. Christmas crackers. This is something that I've gone to different countries expecting to see, and you don't. This is very British, having a Christmas cracker on your table. So I found out some information from the V&A website. Again, big shout out to the V&A for producing all of the information that I use for this show. And they were invented by a guy called Tom Smith, who was an enterprising baker in London's East End. So Christmas crackers are from the East End, from a bakery, which is awesome. And he invented them over 150 years ago. So Tom, who set up a shop in Goswell Road in Clerkenwell in 1840s, he initially produced wedding cakes and sweets. And on the trip to Paris, he discovered the French bonbon, which was a sugared almond, basically, in some tissue paper. And they were really, really popular at Christmas. And he got some... and started putting a little motto inside the wrapper to try and improve sales. And the inspiration to then add an explosive pop was sparked by the crackling sound of a log fire. So he patented his very first cracker device in 1847 and perfected a mechanism in the 1860s. It used two narrow strips of paper layered together with silver fulminate painted on one side and an abrasive surface on the other. When pulled, friction created a small explosion. To stave off competition, the company introduced a range of cracker designs which were marketed as novelty for the use of wide range of celebrations. Tom's son, Walter, then added the elaborate hats made of fancy paper sourced novelties and gifts from Europe, America and Japan. The success of the cracker enabled the business to grow and move to larger premises in Finsbury Square, employing 2,000 people by the 1890s, including many, many female workers.
Wow.
Yeah, that's cool, isn't it?
It is. The first Christmas cup, the term is now understood, is believed to have been designed in England in 1843 by John Calcott Horsley. An edition of 1,000 hand-coloured copies was placed on sale in London. A triptych, is that the correct pronunciation?
Triptych, yep.
The card depicted a family party in the centre, beneath which the words, "A Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to you."
Which is very nice. So I mentioned on the show a couple of weeks ago that myself, Charlotte and Mother Bays went to the V&A for Charlotte's birthday to a lecture about Christmas cards. And although the very first one had "A Very Merry Christmas to You," a lot of the early Victorian Christmas cards didn't depict Christmas images at all. In fact, there was one that we were shown that is in the archive at the V&A, which was essentially two insects quoting Shakespeare, and that was a Christmas card. So Christmas cards have been weird and wonderful for very many years. There are also a lot of animals featuring in cards. So you had cats doing everyday things, bunnies doing everyday things,
Bub doing everyday things.
Yeah, you really want me to bring that back. But yeah, a lot of animals and just a lot of weirdness. So if you fancy a day of falling into the internet, just search Victorian Christmas cards and you'll see all sorts. And some of them are really scary. There are a lot of foods as well, you know, like a lady and a gentleman sitting at home, but actually the gentleman is a turkey and the lady is like a Brussels sprout or something. Really, really weird things. And also check out the V&A print room, because they have one of the largest collections of Christmas cards in the world there. Pantomimes. Now, we've done a whole show on pantomimes this year, so do go back to our archives and have a listen to that. Again, the V&A has a lot of information about where pantomimes came from.
Oh, no, they don't.
Oh, yes, they do. I didn't even think that would happen. I'm just, like, kicking myself now. I did find some more information from York University to add to that, though. So pantomimes actually have their roots in ancient Greece, which we didn't touch on. So if you're looking way back, that's where you're likely to see the first parts of how the story came together in terms of the writing of a pantomime, and obviously via Italy and France, which was mentioned a couple of weeks ago. But it really insinuates itself into Britain, a pantomime, because of its fusion of eccentricity, ambiguity and absurdity, has much to do about the English national identity. So for many of us, Christmas wouldn't even be Christmas without the pantomime, and it's been that way since Edwardian times, Victorian times, and even prior to that, even in Georgian times, pantomimes were a big thing, particularly because actually they were for the whole family. So it was the first form of theatre which wasn't for an elitist upper class. You could go and watch this on Boxing Day when you weren't working, your one day off a year. You could go with your family and everyone could watch it together. So yeah, traditionally they would be on Boxing Day in central London. A couple of the theatres are still there that were renowned for those as well. York University says, according to writer and caricaturist Max Beerbohm, pantomime is the only art form ever invented in England. bold statement. It's a splendid witticism, albeit untrue. Pantomime has become quintessentially British, as British as Earl Grey tea or a good Indian curry. Pantomime's history is a story of border crossings as plots and performers slip across national, linguistic and cultural boundaries. And I think by hearing about Tinderella, we can say that that is definitely still developing.
Do you think that Max Beerbohm also developed games for pubs?
Beer bomb. Possibly. Possibly. And finally, on ending our traditional chat of traditional Christmas, there are a couple of lost traditions that we thought were worth mentioning. Maybe going and watching your pantomime on Boxing Day is a bit lost, because people will watch those before Christmas predominantly now. Boxing Day present opening. This is one that you mentioned, Spencer.
Yeah, I mean, this was like this is something that my mum threatened me with all the time. She always used to say to me, if you don't behave yourself, you can't have your presents until Boxing Day, like in the old days. And apparently, yes. Presents were originally given in the olden days on Boxing Day and not Christmas Day.
Mm.
Imagine that.
I think as a child you'd just be heartbroken, wouldn't you?
There's no real dates to sort of like put that to, you know, exactly when that happened. But yes, presents was initially happened on Boxing Day, and that's where the actual name came from, because it was the unboxing of a present, Boxing Day.
Yeah, I quite like the idea of Boxing Day. Like, a whole show could be put together on Boxing Day and the reasons why it's called Boxing Day. But, yeah, I heard that it is actually something to do with boxing fights as well.
Yeah.
But something tells me that that's not true.
There's something out there. But I think that is an urban myth, like badgers.
Like badgers. Obviously, you have the tradition now as well of the Boxing Day football games. And a lot of people will have this in their Christmas rituals, won't they? So they've got Christmas with the family and then they'll watch the big game on Boxing Day.
When I got up this morning, there was football on two channels, and that's why I had to watch Zorax.
Because it wasn't as unnerving as watching football.
Who on earth puts sport on Christmas Eve morning? What's that all about?
I can guarantee my dad was probably watching that. Some other lost traditions. Bringing in a fire for Christmas, and this is linked to winter solstice. So over Halloween, you would have just been finishing your harvest festival, and then you would go and light a big fire together, and then the aim would be to go and get a bit of that fire for your home and keep it until winter solstice.
Because I read this as bringing in a fire for Christmas, a little bit like, you know, if you find a homeless cat, bring it in. If you find a homeless fire, bring it into your house.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that is how I've written it.
Yeah.
I was hoping we could adopt a fire this Christmas.
I'm going to go looking for one when we leave the studio.
But I guess that could be why this idea of a crackling fire is so wholesome at Christmas time. You know, because actually in the past it would have been a very community-oriented thing, that you would light a fire as a community, you would keep that fire burning so long as it's winter solstice to make sure people keep warm and they don't die of Christmas perils. Because actually it's winter, isn't it? You look back to the Middle Ages when, you know, winter solstice was a big thing, and people would have just died in the winter because you wouldn't have been able to defeat that, because it would just be so cold and there'd be no food.
Mm.
Which is a very light-hearted thing to end the show on. Winter solstice, though, there were loads of people that turned out to winter solstice at Stonehenge this year, and apparently it's growing every year. More and more people are celebrating winter solstice and going back to UK pagan roots, which is quite fun. Anyway, let's have some more music. I'm going to attempt to play Lily Allen.
I felt the earth us.
A simple thing, where have you gone? I'm getting old and I need something to rely on. And if you have a minute, why don't we go talk about it somewhere only we know? This could be the end of everything, so why don't we go somewhere only we know? Somewhere only we
out. You better not cry, you better not pout. I am telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list, he's checking it twice. He's gonna find out who's naughty or nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. He sees you when you're sleeping, and he knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. You better watch out, you better not cry, you better not pout. I am telling you why, 'cause Santa Claus is coming to town. You when you're sleeping, and he knows when you're awake, and he knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. You better watch out, you better not cry, you better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. You better watch out, you better not cry, you better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming. I mean the big fat man with the long white beard. He's coming to town.
And and that was Michael Bublé, Santa Claus is Coming to Town. Prior to that, we had Lily Allen, Somewhere Only We Know, which not the most traditional Christmas film, but it did feature in a John Lewis advert, which means it pretty much is now. But that is all we have time for this week. But remember, next week we will have a reprise of our fantastic pantomime recorded last week, Snow White and the Seven Radio Show Hosts. There we go, you'll be able to hear that live. Well, it won't be live, it's recorded. Tune in for some familiar voices and epic sound effects too, including Funky, who you're going to listen to next. Because right now we're handing over to a very Christmassy Nigel with the best soul and funk to get you through the rest of the evening.
Woo!
Woo. But until then, a very Merry Christmas from us and a very Happy New Year from the Arts Programme. Let's hope it is full of art, culture, film and everything joyous in between.
That's all for us for now. We'll leave you with... What are we going to leave them with?
We're going to leave you with Kelly Clarkson, Underneath the Tree.
Excellent. I've been Spencer.
And I've been Natalie. And this has been the Arts Programme on Phoenix FM in 2023. Oh, actually, I don't think we're going to leave you with Kelly Clarkson. Computer says no. Let's see, what can we leave you with?
I think that between Nigel and yourself, we could have some sort of reenactment of Baby It's Cold Outside.
I'll see if they've got Baby It's Cold Outside on a list.
So, in case you're wondering, we've had some issues again, some technicalities.
Okay, let's see if you recognise who's singing this.
Can't stay.
Baby, it's cold outside.
I've got to go away.
Oh, baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has been
hoping that you'd drop
so very
in.
Nice.
I'll hold your hands, they're just like
Mama,
ice.
The world start to worry.
Beautiful, what's your hurry?
My father will be patient.
Listen to the fireplace.
So clearly I'd better scurry.
Oh, beautiful, please don't hurry.
Well, maybe just a half a drink.
Put some records on while I pour.
The neighbor's my thing.
Oh, baby, it's bad out there.
Say, what's in this drink?
There's no cabs to be had out there.
I wish I knew how.
Your eyes are like starlight
now. Break despair.
Take your hands, your head
upstairs. Say no, no, no.
Mind if I move a little closer?
At least I'm gonna say that I tried.
What's the sense in hurting my pride?
I really can't stay.
But baby, don't hold out.
Ah, but baby, it's cold outside. Simply must go.
Oh, baby, it's cold outside.
The answer is no.
Oh, baby, it's cold outside.
This welcome has been.
I'm lucky that you dropped
so
in.
So nice and warm.
Look out the window at the storm.
My sister will be suspicious.
Oh, and this looked delicious.
My brother will be there at the door.
Waves upon a tropical shore.
My Ooh,
your lips are delicious.
Well, maybe just a cigarette more.
Never such a blizzard before.
I gotta go home.
Oh, baby, it's freeze out there.
Gemma, lend me your cool.
You know it's up to your knees out there.
You've really been grand.
I thrill when you touch my
don't
hand.
Don't you see?
How can you do this thing to me?
There's bound to be tomorrow.
Making my life love
at least there will be plenty of
goodbye. If you could no longer
I really can't stay.
Get over that.
Radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.